受神的爱。
在他们被逼迫的时候，他们一起享受神给他们的平安。
While they are under persecution, they together they enjoy God's peace.
他们也一起分享，主日，使徒跟他讲道的心得。
They also share in the gospel, the apostle's teaching.
那么他们也跟我们中国教会一样，常常一起来吃饭。
They also very much like our church, they eat together all the time.
所以我们吃饭。这个不是熟识的，是根据圣经的。
So, eat together is not a secular thing, it's actually very biblical.
到现在为止，我们都觉得很同意。
We are all very agree with the early church.
但是有一句话，大家姐妹听了以后就很不舒服。
Maybe it's something that you may not be comfortable with.
凡物共用。
They share all things in common.
哎，我这车很漂亮，为什么要跟你一起用呢？
I have a nicer car, why do I have to share?
那你的房子那么大，会不会我搬进去住啊？
How about we share your big house?
所以很多人就以为圣经是强调这个共产主义。
Some people think that maybe Bible is teaching communism.
哎，我听过这种说法。
I have heard teaching like that.
所以我们今天介绍圣经的，我们要形成这个观念。
That's why we want to make this very clear.
就是讲到两个经济的系统。
There are two economic systems.
一个就是无产阶级的共产主义。
One is the communist system.
一个就是圣经中神国的经济观。
There is another one is the biblical sharing.
那么在这个集权国家里头，他们说。国家拥有所有一切。
In the totalitarian system, the government owns everything.
但是在神国当中有一个很重要，也是首要的观念，就是神拥有所有的一切。
But in the kingdom of heaven, God is the one who owns and possesses everything.
因为他是从无变有的神。
Because the God who creates from nothing to everything.
他是维持生命的神。
He is the one who sustains life.
他也是支持这个万有的神。
He is always one that sustains everything.
所有的东西都属于上帝。
So everything belongs to God.
那么在无产的阶级的政权以下，国家决定我们需要什么东西。
Under a communist system, the government tells you what you need.
而且指定这些资源怎么去分配。
They also distribute or assign the resource that is available to you.
但是在神的国里面呢，
But、
神拥有一切，我们是一个管家。
God is the owner, we are his manager.
但是我们有我们的自由意志去管理我们神给我们的财务。
God gave us the right to manage what he gave us.
所以这个就是一个很重要的观念。
This is a very important difference.
那还有这个在集权国家里面呢，这个资源是由政府用高压的政策去分配。
Under a totalitarianism, all the resources are distributed by the government.
但是在神国里面呢，我们是甘心乐意去跟人家分享。
But in the kingdom of God, we share everything willingly.
在共产党这种主义之下呢，没有私有的财产权。
They under communistic system, there is no private property right.
但是在上帝的国度里面呢，不管是旧约是新约，他不但给我们一个拥有自己财富的权利。
In the Old and New Testament, God gave us the right to own private property.
还有保护我们这个权利。
We also have the right to protect them.
因为我们是他的管家。
Because we are God's manager.
所以他给这种特权给我们。
That's why we receive our authority from him.
我们从这个十诫，就是旧约的代表，说不可偷渡。
That's why the Ten Commandments teach us that we should not steal.
就偷人家东西，就是把人家东西占为己有。
To steal is to infringe or take other people's property.
那么圣经里面也讲了，不可贪恋人的房屋，并他一切所有的。
We should not covet other people's possession, their house.
所以我们看到圣经里面是保护这个私有权。
That's why the Bible teaches us a private right.
而且给我们这个权利去拥有一些东西，为他去管理，为了神的荣耀。
God gives us the right to possess property so that we can manage.
那新约的观念也是一样。
It's same thing in the New Testament.
你知道在使徒行传有 一对夫妇叫亚拿尼亚跟撒菲拉。
You know about the story of Ananias and Sophia.
他们认识就说，我把我的房子卖掉，我的捐给教会。
They come to the pastor, told the pastor that we sold all our property to give to the church.
但是，当他卖掉以后，发现这个钱也不少啊，他就扣了一点点，然后告诉使徒，我只有那么多，没有那么多。
But after they sold the property, they decided to keep a portion for themselves and bring a leftover to the church.
那使徒就告诉他，你是欺侮圣灵。
And the apostle told them, why do you want to deceive God?
结果上帝击杀了他们。
They died.
那么这个重点呢，就代表圣经是同意我们有私有权的。
The story point out that God does give us the right to possess property.
那么我们现在可以做一个小小的结论。
We can have a conclusion.
圣经虽然讲到初级教会他们凡物共用。
Bible teaches us in the early church they share everything in common.
但是圣经没有吩咐我们一定要这样做。
God did not say that we have to share everything in common.
但是信徒如此做是因为他们愿意喜欢这样做。
At the time, they are willing and happy to do, to share.
而且他们明了到这样做是讨神的喜悦。
Also, they do it as a motivation to please God.
因为圣经里面讲的捐得乐意的人，是神所喜悦的。
Because the Bible teaches us that God is happy with the joyful giver.
所以我们再看看当时的历史背景。
Also, we look at the historic situation at the time.
当时的信徒是在强烈的逼迫患难当中。
At that time, the believers were under Roman persecution.
所以如果你不把它分出去，迟早罗马政府要充公你的财物。
It might be a wise move for them to share.
而且当时已经有些弟兄姐妹他的财物已经被夺去了。
Because during that time, Roman confiscated a lot of private property.
那么他们爱他们的弟兄。
Because they love their brother.
所以他们愿意把他们有的分给他的弟兄姐妹。
They are willing and happy to share what they have.
所以我们就知道这个圣经的观念跟有些人以为这个是共产党的观念是不对的。
That's why we are going to realize that this is not a communist system.
那么我们现在有一个问题，他们一起祷告，一起吃饭。
Another question. They eat together and they share. They have meal together.
And 他们一起去敬拜上帝。
They worship together.
他们一起玩。
They play together.
他们有好的团契。
They have a very good fellowship.
那么我们不能不问，到底什么东西把他们凝聚在一起呢？
We have to ask ourselves what knit them together.
那么这个答案就很简单。
There's one very simple answer.
圣经里面就讲到一个约的关系。
Bible teach about a covenant
relationship.
A relationship.
那么我们先看看旧约。
Let's look at the Old Testament.
上帝透过摩西跟他的子民立约。
God established a covenant relationship with his people in the Old Testament.
那么现在以色列人呢，就变成圣洁的国民。
As a result of that covenant, they become a holy nation.
那这个到底是什么约呢？
What kind of covenant is that?
是个有条件的约。
This is the covenant with the condition.
所以上帝说，如果你看圣经，上帝就是说，如果你遵守我的命令
，That's why the Bible teaches that God said that if you obey my commandment，
你就有这个特权向我
，You will be holy like me。
那么神的形象是怎么样呢
？What are God's image？
最显明的就是上帝说，我是圣洁的，你们也应该圣洁。
I will teach us God said that I am holy and that's why you should be holy.
那么他们就成为圣洁的国民。
As a result, they become a holy people.
所以这个圣洁呢有两方面的意义。
There are two meaning to the idea of holy.
第一个就是他们分别为圣。
They are separated.
我们现在基督徒也是分别为圣。
All of us are being separated out.
我们属于这个世界，但是我们在这个世界，但是我们不属于这个世界。
We are part of this world, but we are not of this world.
就像以色列人，他们也把跟迦南人分别出来归给上帝。
They also just like Israel, they separated themselves from the Gentiles at the time.
另外一个圣洁的意义就是他们 因为守约的关系得了上帝圣洁的形象。
Because of that second aspect, that because of that covenant, they also receive the holiness given by God.
那么我们现在马上走到新约。
Let's go to the New Testament.
新约耶稣基督在最后的晚餐说了一句话。
In the last meal, Jesus said,
他说这个杯是我的身体为你们舍的。
This cup is the new covenant I establish with you.
那么这个杯就代表我跟你们立了新约。
The cup represents the new covenant I set up with you.
为什么叫新约呢？为了与摩西的约分别出来。
The new covenant relates to the Mosaic covenant.
因此，基督徒就成为圣洁的国民。
Therefore, we also become a holy people.
所以总括来说，旧约的子民跟新约的信徒，因为与神立约，都成为上帝的儿女。
In the same way that all the Israelites become a holy nation, the new believer, the New Testament, we also become.
但是这个摩西是耶稣的代表，他跟耶稣是不同的。
Moses does foreshadow Jesus Christ, but he is not the same.
圣命记说，以后以色列中再没有兴起先知像摩西一样，他是耶和华面对面所认识的。
In the Deuteronomy, it says that since then, no prophet has arrived in Israel like Moses, whom Lord knew face to face.
那么我们跳到新约的希伯来书。
If you go to the book of Hebrew in New Testament,
他就是耶稣，比摩西说的更配的荣耀，好像建造房子的比房屋更尊荣。
Jesus was more worthy of the glory, just like the builder are more glorious. The
因为房屋都必有人建造，但建造万物的就是神。
The one who builds the house is more glorious than the beauty.
摩西为仆人在神全家成员尽忠，为要证明将来必成说的事，就是耶稣基督道成肉身的事。
Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house.Bearing witness to what will be spoken by God in the future.
所以我们知道旧约的子民跟新约的信徒都是建立在这个约的关系里面，这个是跟世界上所有的团体不同的地方。
So in a way that the believer and the old Israelite, we are all built on a covenant with God.
但是这个约呢是有两方面的。
There are two aspects to this covenant.
为了使弟兄姐妹容易记得起来，我们就看看就是。
I want to use this cross to illustrate, to make it easier to understand.
直的木头就代表我们神的子民跟上帝立约。
The vertical line represents God's people's covenant with God.
这个横的木头呢，就代表我们弟兄姐妹互相立约。
In the same way, the horizontal line represents the covenant among the believers.
所以这个十字架，如果一个木头不平衡，这个十字架就垮下来。
If any of the nine is not a nine or straight, the cross will collapse.
所以我们就信徒不能说，哎，我跟上帝关系好了，我不要管你，我跟弟兄姐妹的关系。
That's why we cannot say I have a good relationship with God. I don't worry about my cross.
那么这个不是约的全面。
This is not a complete covenant.
但是这个约的关系，我们怎么应用在我们的生活当中呢
？How do we use this idea of covenant in our everyday life？
首先我们从这个抽象的观点讲起。
I want to start with some abstract idea.
那么这个观念呢可以从哥林多前书第十章有人结圣经。
Idea come from the Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter 10.
第十六节这样讲，我们所祝福的杯岂不是统领基督的血吗？我们所擘开的饼岂不是统领基督的身体吗？
In verse 16, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, but participation in the blood of Christ. And it's not the bread that we break, but participation in the body of Christ.
我们虽多人是一个饼一个身体，因为我们是分受这一个饼。
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for We all share the one loaf.
这两节圣经有两个重要的字眼。
In these two words, there are two key words.
一个就是同。
One is participation.
一个就是一。
One is the idea of unity of one.
这里就讲到没有一个我们是不能合一。
Without a covenant, we cannot be unit.
但是这个约呢，就从我们领性圣餐的时候可以体验到。
We can experience this unity in the breaking of the bread.
你们知道美国 USA United States of America 这句话的翻译成这个希伯来的希伯来以色列怎么翻译 USA 这三个字呢？
The USA is translated in by Hebrew. Do you know what that means?
It's the land of the covenant. 约的领土。
It's the land of covenant.
Land of the covenant.你们可以到 Google 去查查这个。
You look up United States Hebrew means.
所以我们看到这个月所产生的果实呢，就是合一。
So in some way, the one of the fruit of the covenant is unity.
但是这个合一跟统一是不同的。
Unity and the sameness is not the same.
Uniformity. Uniformity. Uniformity 是不同的。OK. 你看看我们这个美国是合众国。但是呢是合一的，但是它是最 diversified 的，最多元化的。
Even though United States is one United States, but it's a very diverse nation.
这里就讲到这个从基督教文化建立的国家，它是注重这个个人的自由的思想。
In a Christian based country, we do respect individual difference.
所以你们看看我们的硬币就是 quarter 什么所有的钱里面都有一个拉丁字，意思就是 in many one 的意思，就是合一啊，这我们说的。但是美国是很注重这个多元化。
Yeah, America does emphasize diversity.
Diversity. 这个是一个非常好的国家。
It is a very wonderful country.
但是我们现在这个。讲的用圣餐来代表这个合一，这个是非常抽象的。
When we use the Lord's table to think of unity, it's something very abstract.
所以我们应该必须从这个抽象的领域进到一个实际的领域里面去。
I want to bring that abstract notion into reality.
有两节圣经可以帮助我们去了解。
There are two verses that can help us understand.
就是记载在希伯来书第九章十六跟十七节。
In Hebrew chapter 9.
他说凡有疑病必须等到留疑病的人死了。
In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who makes the will.
那么这里有个注解，他说疑病原文与月字同。
The will is same as the
covenant.
A covenant or testimony.
对。那实际节上这样讲，因为人死了，一命才有效力。若留一命的尚在，那一命还有用处吗
？Yeah, because the will is only enforced when someone who makes it has died.
所以这个遗嘱的观念呢，远在使徒时代已经有了。
The idea of a will is already in the Old Testament.
你可以立一个遗嘱，但是这个遗嘱没有用，一直等到你立遗嘱的人死了，然后在法庭里面打开，这个遗嘱就有用。
A will has no legal standing until the person who makes it has died.
那么读到现在，我们还不知道这个跟我们今天讲的有什么关系呢？
How is that related to the topic that we are discussing now?
那么约翰一书第三章十六节给我们一个钥匙去打开这。
In the first John, it also gave us another key to this understanding.
他说主为我们舍命，我们从此就知道何为爱，我们也当为弟兄舍命。
Because of Christ who died for us, then we know what is love, and in the same way we should.Be willing to die.
那么这个舍命英文就是 lay down one's life.
To lay down one's life.
意思是说我们在这个月里面呢，要把我们弟兄姐妹的好处放在我们自己的好处之先。
In that covenant, we must be willing to lay down our life or put the interest of our brother before our own.
那么在我预备讲这样的时候，我偶然碰到亚里士多德一句名言。
I run into a saying by Aristotle.
那么 英文我让我的弟兄去读，中文意思就是说，有些人希望我一帆风顺，但是他的希望呢是完全为了我的好处。
He said, "My friend who really cares, my best friend who really cares for my good will, it'd be somebody who has only my benefit in mind."
So, 你有没有想到，有时候我们也希望我的弟兄姐妹有好处。
We want to do good for our brother.
但是我们的希望呢，希望他有好处的时候，我也得到一些好处。
Sometimes very often in our good will for the next, there's a self-interest in there.
但是在神的国里面，我们为了弟兄的好处是完完全全为了。
But under God's covenant, we don't be completely because of the other person's interest.
这个就是舍命的意思。
This is the idea of lay down your life.
当然，舍命也包括就殉道。
Although lay down your life does imply martyrdom.
但是我觉得，如果一个人连弟兄姐妹的好处都不放在先呢，神大概也不会选你做一个殉教殉道士。
The chance that if you are not willing to put your brother's interest in mind first, that probably not choose you to be a martyr.
所以我们看到这个舍命这件事情呢，原来是我们的义务，也是我们基督徒的责任。
As we see, to lay down ourselves is our responsibility as what God calls us to do.
那么我们现在进一步从这个抽象变成实际，从实际呢，我们要讲到一个实行的层面里面去。
From this abstract idea to something reality, I want to learn how to apply in our everyday practical use.
这个实行呢，就是弟兄姐妹之间双向的互动。
How do we to put it into practical usage?
就是也是基督徒一个责任。
It's something that we must learn.
在新约圣经里面有一个是重复又重复又重复，总共有十九次之多。
There's a word that is constantly repeated in the New Testament.
这个就是彼此或者说互相。
One another, that's the word.
And each other.
And each other.
比方来讲，一共有十九次。
Yeah, 19 times.
他说我们彼此洗脚。
We must wash each other's feet.
彼此相爱。
We must love each other.
彼此建立。
We must build up each other.
彼此接纳。
We must accept one another.
彼此劝勉。
We must encourage one another.
And 彼此问安。
We must care for each other.
彼此服侍。
We must serve one another.
彼此担待。
We must
bear
one another's burden.
彼此宽容。
We must forgive one another.
彼此顺服。
We must submit to one another.
彼此教导。
We must teach
each other. 彼此安慰。
We must comfort each other.
彼此鼓励。
We must encourage each other.
彼此眺望。
We must
stimulate
one another.
彼此认罪 confess.
We must confess to one another.
彼此接纳。
We must accept one another.
彼此谦卑。
We must humble before one another.
然后有一样彼此是重复两次，彼此赦免。
We must forgive one another.
那么这里总共是十九次，但是从这个 Purpose-Driven Church 这本书里面，他说五十次。
In the book of Purpose-Driven Church, they found 50 times this verse.
因为他把这个彼此这个观念也算进去。
Because the idea of one another was counted also.
所以我们看到这个在月的关系，弟兄姐妹的关系，就是一个彼此的关系。
That's why in this under new covenant we have a different relationship.
所以如果我们从这个彼此这种实行当中呢，我们就会产生一种新的态度。
From this idea of caring for one another, we can start a new attitude.
过去我们说我的。
In the past, we only think of I, mine, me.
但是现在我们讲我们的。
Now we got to begin to think of ours, us.
等等，就好像耶稣教导我们祷告一样，我们在天上的父。
真的 ，Jesus teach us to pray. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven."
有一件事情很奇妙，在《可兰经》里面的第一章。讲到上帝的名号有九十九次之多。
In Islam, there are 99 names of God.
但是它缺乏一个是基督教才有的。
But there is one that's missing, that can only found in the Bible.
就是我们的父，阿爸 ，Father.
That is our Father.
这个是我们的信仰跟其他宗教最不同的地方。
This is one something that is very unique in Christian.
那么我们有了这个态度以后呢，
we
们就有一个新的生活形态。
We can begin to develop a new lifestyle.
那么这个新的生活情状况呢，就是我们有这个问责性 accountability。
That new lifestyle will involve accountability。
这个我们是非常重要的。
This is something that's also very important。
因为我们都很软弱。
Since we are all。
我们需要弟兄姐妹去彼此看看，有人用手指指着我们这样子，去责备我们。
We are very fearful when people。
所以有弟兄姐妹责备我们，我们会生气。这个是一个很好的机会。
We should not be discouraged when people reprimand us.
我常常觉得，为什么小孩子很容易学这个语言？
Sometimes I wonder how come the children learn the language so fast.
很多人告诉我们，因为他的脑筋好嘛，记忆力好嘛。
Because their mind are very fresh, very.
但是我发现很多大人的记忆力也是非常好的。
I think a lot of adults have even better memory.
但是我自己的分析就是，小孩子之所以会讲话，是因为他有个妈妈去叫他。
Very often children learn their language fast because the mom is teaching.
所以他一讲错，妈妈会纠正他。
Right away, the mother correct.
但是我们大人，如果你讲英文讲得不准确，人家听懂就说了，有没有说去改你的英文呢？
Yeah, generally we are told nobody correct what you say.
所以有时候弟兄姐妹改我的发音，我是非常的感谢，因为没有人敢这样子跟我讲的 ，OK？
Generally people correct my pronunciation.
所以这个就是一个。问责感，问我们的责任的一种性质。
This is accountability.
然后我们这个生活形态是一个手足之情。
Also, this new lifestyle is a brotherly love, lifestyle.
还有我们是一个团契的团员。
Also, we are a member of fellowship.
我们也是基督的精兵，所以我们是一起去打仗的。
In the same way, in one way, we are also all soldiers of Christ.
所以啊，这些所有的东西呢，就又一个东西连起来，这个就是爱。
All these put together encompass love.
所以这个爱是那么的重要。所以耶稣做他最后大祭司的祷告的时候，他这样子祷告。
That's why this love was so important when Jesus prayed at the high priest.
求你因你所赐给我们的名保守他们，就是我们，叫他们合而为一。像我们合为一样。
Jesus prayed that you, God will keep us in unity and in the bonds of love.
所以上帝要我们合一，乃是要我们像三位一体的神合一一样。
That we will be in unity, like Jesus and God are in unity of Trinity.
那不但在使徒行传有这种观念，到了老约翰跟他的使徒们也这样讲。
This is not only in the Old Testament, in the book of John, he was mentioned.
在约翰一书一章三节有这样子一句话。
First John, chapter one, verse three.
也是我们刚刚的金句。
It's something that we read before.
我们将所看见的、所听见的传给你们，使你们与我们的父相交。我们乃是与父并他儿子耶稣基督相交的。
We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard.So that you also may have fellowship with us.
所以我们看到圣经的一致性，就是使徒行传、约翰使徒所讲的完全一样。
That's why we see the unity between the teaching of the apostles.
然后我们再看看我们主要的经文的四十六节。
Let's go to verse 46.
他们天天同心合意，恒切的在殿里，并在家中擘饼，存着欢喜诚实的心用饭。
With great joy, they partake in the breaking of the bread and the meal.
那么他们在殿里呢，可能就是为了传福音。
When they are in the synagogue, they want to share the gospel.
因为他们如果光是在基督徒在一起，他怎么跟外边的人接触呢？
If others, the Christians stay among themselves, how are we going to be in touch with people outside?
所以他们必须要在家中聚会。
So they gather together in at home.
为什么要在家中聚会呢？
Why do they get together at home?
因为当时的信徒，你的讲道以后，第一次讲道以后，就有至少3000的信徒。
You remember after the first time Peter preached, there were 3,000 believers.
所以耶路撒冷呢，至少有3000多人是基督徒。
So at that time in Jerusalem there are at least 3,000 believers.
有那么多人，你哪里在初期教会的时间，哪里有那么大的建筑物去去做主日崇拜呢？
Yeah, probably they don't have a building that can accommodate so many people at one time.
所以他发明一个方法，就是我们2000年以后才发现的，就是家庭教会。
We are already doing something that we have discovered recently, that's family church.
但是我们去想一想，如果有3000人啊，如果在家庭聚会，如果每一个家庭有20个信徒，有3000人，我们就必须有150个家庭。
If there are 20 family church in Jerusalem, 20 person per family church, there are about 150 churches there.
那么至少每个家庭要去一个领袖。
And there's a leader in each group.
那么有些人说，小组20个人太多了。
Some people say a small group with 20 persons.
就要是15个人。
15 is probably the max.
那如果15个人的话，就有3000个家庭。
There will be with 15 persons, there will be
300个。
family church.
那么300个家庭呢， with, 就需要至少300个领袖。
对不对？ With 300 family church, there will be 300 leaders.
我说至少，因为如果那个领袖生病，要有人再补上去了，是吧？所以问题就产生一个很重要的问题。
There's a question.
这些领袖从哪里来呢？
Where are all these leaders of the family church come from?
这里就想到我们第一节圣经了，因为他们恒切遵守使徒的教训。
Because they devote themselves to apostles' teaching.
所以我们也必须要读圣经，你才可以做带领教会。
You must devote yourself to apostle teaching to be.
所以读圣经就变成我们施工所向的，是一个教会的基础。
That's why the Bible study become a foundation for us.
所以我们大家都知道我们要爱神。
We all know we must love God.
大家都知道我们要关心我们的同胞。
We all know we must love one another.
而且大家都知道我们要对人家的需要敏感。
We must be all sensitive to other person's needs.
大家也知道我们随时要准备帮助别人。
We must be prepared to help.
但是传福音有一个叫基本的三部曲。
There are three aspects to the sharing of the gospel.
容易记忆起见就叫三个 P 字头的字。
Three ideas, each one start with a P.
第一个就是 presence, 就是我们要跟人家接近呢。
Presence.
We have to be present. Yeah, 对。在哪里？那么我们不是像佛教徒到山上
修道啊。We don't just go to the mountain to meditate.
我们要进入社区。
We must go into the society.
然后我们第二批就是 proclamation, 就是我们要宣扬救恩。
Second is proclamation. We must proclaim.
这个也是我们信徒要注意的。
This is something that we have to do.
多少的时间我们请朋友到我们家门吃饭，当然非常高兴，感情也建立起来，但是没有提到耶稣。
Very often we get very friends for meal, but we talk about a lot of things with Christ.
那么最后呢，有一个 P 叫persuasion, 就是要说服人家。
The last P is persuasion.
当然我们的信仰不是说要说服人家信我们的宗教。
We are not to persuade others to adopt our faith.
但是我们必须把我们得救的缘由告诉别人。这个圣徒的见证。
We must be able to give the reason for our belief.
对我来讲，这一步是最难的。
For me, this is a very difficult part.
当我退休以后，我每天早上起来就问我自己一个问题。
After I retire, when I wake up in the morning, I ask myself a question.
我到底怎么样告诉我的朋友我为什么信耶稣？
How do I tell my friend how I become a Christian?
这个发现是一个非常不容易回答的问题。
I find that a very difficult question to answer.
但是彼得前书第三章十五节有这样一段话。
First Peter teaches to
三章十五节。
Verse 3.
他说只要心里尊主基督为圣。
You must hold God.
Reverence. 有人问你，就是有人问你信耶稣的原因呢？你要用温柔的心去回答他们。
You must be willing to be able to give the reason for the hope that you have.
而且你要会怎么样做到这一点？你要常做准备。
You must be constantly prepared.
不是说下礼拜轮到我去大理查经，我就准备。
Not next week, but you must be always ready.
而是常做准备，常常这个准备。
You must be ready to get the reasons.
所以我跟弟兄姐妹、跟朋友们传福音的时候，我把他们的问题非常严肃的看待。
That's why when I share the gospel with my friend, I treat the question very seriously.
以前我说，哎，这个问题就胡说八道，不会理他。
Before I always say that's a silly question.
但是我发现不能这样子。
Now I realize that was wrong.
因为每一个问题，就是在心里面有个结在那边。
Because each of these questions is a knot in their heart.
但是常做准备的就一个很慢的动作。
We must be constantly prepared.
这个就是需要去读经研究。
We must be ready to do Bible study.
同时还要看别的书。
We must study.
你才会知道人家为什么会这样想。
So that we can help answer their question.
那么初期教会说你们要遵守使徒的教训。
The early church teach them they got to obey the apostles' teaching.
那这个遵守两个字呢是非常的重要。
To obey is I think that.
因为我们对真理的关系呢，并不完完全是从明白这个出发点。
Very often our relationship, our understanding of the Bible is not from purely understanding.
乃是进入真理。
We must enter the truth.
所以圣经里面就讲到进入。
We must go into the truth.
就好像你开车的时候，你今天不开车，你就不会迷路。
You did not try, you won't get lost.
但是你迷路，你下次不会迷路。
Once you lost, you probably know
better. 所以我们进入真理也是这个样子，我们要进入。
We must enter the truth.
这个才是真正明白真理一个途径。
That's how we begin to understand.
所以我们要读经。
We must do Bible study.
这个是因，原因。
That's the reason.
然后就产生属灵的领袖。
And from there, you will grow to be a leader.
产生就领袖以后，神看到你们已经够了领袖了，所以他把拣选的人放在教会里面。
Once there's enough leaders, God will begin to add number to the group.
所以这个门徒训练呢，是一个非常重要的功课。
That's why in the early church, the disciple training is also very important.
那么有人问 Peter Green 说：“你的布道很厉害啊，每次都有几百人上来。”他们真的是重生吗？
Some people ask Billy Graham, "Say you are a great evangelist. So many people make decision for God, but are they all saved?"
Billy Graham 实在是一个很谦卑的人。
Billy Graham is really a humble person.
他说：“我知道前门虽然大，后门也不小。”
Billy Graham answered that he knows the front gate is wide, but the back door is also open.
那么你应该要做这个门徒训练啦。
Maybe you should help out with.Disciple training.
但是比如说我神给我的托付就是传福音，神没有给我这个托付去做门徒训练。
Billy Graham said, "I know my task for evangelism. God did not assign me to disciple training."
他没有忽略这个重要性。
But he did not ignore the importance of disciple training.
他就一直在祷告。
He was constantly praying for God to raise another person.
后来有一天他碰到一位老弟兄比他还大。
One day he met another older brother.
这个人的名字叫 Dawson Trotman.
He was Dawson Trotman.
他后来为了Billy Graham鼓励他以后，他创立这个导航会。
With Billy Graham's encouragement, he started Navigator.
所以 专做这个门徒训练的工作。
Focus on disciple training。
说到今天呢，我们看到 Billy Graham 的施工跟这个导航会的施工呢，一个是传福音，一个是门徒训练，双管齐下。
That's why now today we see Billy Graham evangelical outreach and navigator disciple training working together。
所以我们就知道传福音跟门徒训练是非常重要的。
Now we see that sharing the gospel and disciple training are both the same。
我们不需要太注重教会的增长。
We don't have to worry about the church growth。
因为如果我们把读经这个基础弄好的时候，神会放人在我们中间。
Because we are firm in our Bible study, God will bring people to the group。
你想想看，如果上帝有下礼拜把50几个新来从那个地方复印到了教会里面去。
If let's say next week there are 50 new people coming to your church。
我相信弟兄姐妹一定很兴奋。
You must be excited, you will be excited。
但是很快也会失望。
In the same way, you're going to be quickly disappointed。
因为我们小牧师、小组长的人数不够。
Because you don't have enough small group leaders。
你也不能维持他们一直在教会。
We may not be able to sustain them。
所以到现在为止，我们明白这个真理了。
Once we understand this truth，
但是还有一个很大的困难。
There's also another difficulty。
对，我现在知道我们有合一，我们要在月中建立自己，我们要有在月中有一些月的行为。
We know we must have unity, and we also have to prepare ourselves。
我也知道我需要在常做准备去应付那些不信人所问的问题。
We also must be prepared to answer the reason for the hope that we have。
但是我们怎么样做呢？
But how do we approach that？
这个不是容易回答的答案。
This is not an easy question to answer。
也是不是我告诉你以后你马上就会做的事情。
It's not something that once you know you can perform。
我们需要一种自己的自我的训练。
There is a degree of self-discipline involved。
那我用一个故事来结束今天的讲道。
I want to use a story to conclude this。
这个是一个圣经的故事，但是你们可能不常听见。
This is a story in the Old Testament, but you may not be very familiar with it。
你可以写下这个经节回去慢慢看。
You can write on the verse。
就是耶利米书35章第1到第10节。
It's found in the book of Jeremiah chapter 35。
一到十节
verse 1 to 10。
那么耶和华跟耶利米说一句话。
Jehovah talk to Jeremiah。
那么他说你请一些人，他们是外邦人，也不是相信耶和华的人，他叫利甲族的人。
God asked Jeremiah to invite a group of Gentiles called
Recabite。 OK， 那么你请他们到圣殿里面去。
God asked Jeremiah to invite the Recabite to the temple。
但是你请他以前呢，你先在圣殿里面预备一些事情。
I want to prepare things in the church for them, in the temple for them。
就是拿一个托盘，上面放了很多杯子，然后把酒放在里面。
Prepare a lot of cup and bottle with wine for them。
那么耶利米就到那边跟这些人讲，你跟我来，我们到圣殿一个小房间去。
So Jeremiah go out and invite this Rechabite to the temple。
叫他们坐下来。
Sit them down。
然后他自己拿一个托盘，拿一些杯，上面有酒的，拿出来。
He bring out the plate of wine。
马上看到这些人的很忧虑不安的那个样子。
Right away he see Gentile are not at ease。
没有一个讲话。
Nobody speak。
那么后来有个领袖就站起来说
，One of the leaders of this Rechabite stand up and say，
他说我们的老祖宗吩咐我们，他是一个很虔诚的人，吩咐我们不要喝酒，也不要建造自己的房子。
Our ancestor, one of our ancestors, advised us not to partake in the wine。
那么我们遵守他所讲的遗训，一直到今天。
For many years we have been following his commandment to us。
所以我不能喝你给我们喝的酒。
That's why we cannot take the wine that you give us。
那么故事就讲到这里。
That's the end of the incident。
到底这个故事有什么属灵的教训呢
？What is the spiritual teaching in here？
你想想看，这些利甲族的人，他们是神的约 外的外邦人尚且遵守一个死人的遗训。
These Rechabites, they are a Gentile outside God's covenant, yet they are obeying some old traditions.
Over that man.
Over that man.
那么我们基督徒是怎么样？我们基督徒是被圣灵重生，被圣灵加力，被圣灵所宠爱的人。
For us, Christian, we have been chosen by the Holy Spirit. Our mind has been renewed by the Spirit.
如果他们遵守死人的教训，我们为什么不能遵守永生神的教训呢？
If these Rechabites can follow and obey the commandment of a dead tradition, dead man's tradition, why can we not?
这段圣经，我们的教训是怎么样？要常常读经，遵守神的律例典章。
How are we going to obey a God's covenant law?
最后，这两族人有不同的结果。
In the end, there are two consequences to these two groups.
在耶利米书讲的，神祝福这些利甲族的人。
In the book of Jeremiah, God blessed the Rechabites.
但是神惩罚他自己的儿女子民。
But God punished his own people.
因为他们刻意违背神的吩咐。
Because they purposely disobeyed God's command.
看以色列的历史，在这个事情发生以后不久。南国就灭亡。
Quickly after this incident, the southern tribe of Israel was destroyed.
因为他们不遵守神的律例。
Because they did not obey God's
教训。
Or his teaching.
所以今天我们来到这个地方要做一个决定。
As we come here today, we must make a decision.
就是我们为了神的荣耀，我们要读经。
For God's honor and glory, we want to do Bible study.
我们要传福音。
We want to share the gospel.
传福音也是门徒训练的一部分。
Because that's also part of the disciple training.
我深深的相信，如果我们能够花时间去读经，花时间去传福音，我们不要太注重人数的增长，上帝就把人数加给我。
I deeply believe if we focus on Bible study, we focus on evangelism. We don't worry about the number of church growth because God will add to the number. May God bless His word. Let's pray.
主，谢谢你把今天使徒的教会的模式告诉我们。
Father, we thank you for this model of this early church for us.
让我们知道怎么样在你的家敬忠。
So that we can stay faithful in your family.
我们传福音乃是为了你的荣耀。
So that we can share the gospel to your glory.
为了你的国度。
For your kingdom.
求主给我们像利甲人那种立志。
Father, give us the heart of Rechabites.
然后去遵行你的话语。
I will resolute to obey your commandment.
明白你给我们的教义。
To understand what you have for us.
让我们有一个分辨的能力。
Give us the ability to distinguish.
我们向你祈求祷告，奉耶稣基督的圣名。
We pray all these in Jesus' name.
Amen.